Well, hello, and welcome to the Leadership Show. This is Harriet Schumacher, and I'm so happy, I'm honored, really, that you're choosing to spend some time with me here today. This podcast is really designed to have some honest, intriguing, hopefully a sprinkle of inspiration here, on the topic of leadership and what it takes to lead in today's uncertain and volatile environment. And I'm a certified executive coach. I have over 20 years of experience working with leaders globally. And by no means does that mean that I have all the answers. I just know some cool people. I've got some insights and sometimes some things that I want to say. And so this podcast really is for your enjoyment. I hope that you tune in. I hope that you get some value out of it. And thank you again for tuning in. On to the show. So I want to talk about integrity. Integrity is, from a leadership competency perspective, it's critical. And what I want to talk with you about today is what is integrity? How do we define it? How do we practice it? How do you spot when you might be suffering from an integrity outage, places where we might struggle? I find that this can happen. And then what do we do about it? If you're spotting that you are suffering from an integrity outage, how can you, get back on track? And so as always, I want to keep this conversation open and fluid. If you have questions, just raise your hand or pop them into the chat. I'd be happy to answer them for you. And why don't we get started with you telling me what is integrity for you? Because, like all of these words that we use in leadership development, we throw them around a lot. We got some big buzzwords that we throw around. How would you kind of describe integrity and how would you define it? I'd love to hear from you. So you can go ahead and say it out loud or you can pop it into the chat, however you're feeling today. I'd love to hear from all of you. What does integrity mean for you? How would you define integrity? What does it mean for you? I'm sure you're all typing furiously in the chat, so I'm just waiting for you to catch up. Anybody want to be brave and talk out loud? Not yet. It's all good. Yes, so Dawn says it's someone who's trustworthy and you believe that they will do what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, any other thoughts? Oh, here we go. Andrea, sorry, I missed that. My eyes are a little fuzzy this morning. Doing the things you say you'll do, but not exclusively. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, Harriet, not to say I will do things that I kind of know I might not be able to, or that don't sound like not sort of overpromising.
Mm-hmm. Like overcommit ourselves.
Yeah, like sort of just shooting off my myth and saying I'll do something knowing that it's going to be really hard to actually then follow through.
Yeah. Yeah, it is that. And there's, there's risk in that, I think, specifically from a gendered lens as well for women, because of the, some gendered bias. So if we commit to something and don't do what we say that we're going to do, we're probably going to get scrutinized for not doing that more than, some of our other colleagues might be. So it's, yeah. Okay, so yeah, don't just say things, make people feel good about themselves. Yeah, I love that, Dawn. So I'm not just like kind of trying to prop you up with like compliments or niceties, mm-hmm. trying to butter you up to try to get something. Yeah, that too. So integrity. For me, I'm with you. Integrity is walking your talk. Yeah, there are definitely saying the things that need to be said. I love that, Lorraine. Conversation's a big part of it. So when I think of integrity, I think of it as like your inside world. You know, it is definitely practiced externally, but it comes from within. And we know that we are leading with integrity, either individually or organizationally, when the inner matches the outer. And, you know, your behavior is in alignment with what you believe. Yes. And definitely walking the talk, right? So inner versus outer, that's the same thing to me. And you built trust and respect through leading and living with integrity. It definitely is about keeping your word. So Andrea was saying that already, you know, I do what I say that I'm going to do. It is also meeting your commitments and dealing honestly and fairly in situations, right? So remaining kind of like staying the course, remaining true to your purpose. This can be tricky when it comes to what I've seen working with women over the years, because women have a tendency to please and perfect. And so a lot of this leading and standing in our integrity can be challenging because of our belief that the way to be accepted to and our way to be valued in the world is to please others or to, you know, be perfect. So it can be very challenging to stand in integrity and lead with integrity when we have been raised to kind of default to those approaches. We can overcommit and say yes instead of saying no, or maybe, or I'll think about it. Or we can just do all the work incessantly and become overloaded with the amount of commitments that we have, so it becomes hard to keep up. And so I will tell you this, integrity, it's true for you. You know this already. I would bet it's true for you too. You want to work with a leader who has high integrity. I think it's what people want most. And this is the kind of leader that people will follow. And when I say leader, I use that word, you know, very loosely, because I'm not just talking about like hierarchical positions of leadership. I'm talking about leading people somewhere. I think integrity is necessary for greatness and great things to happen. We cannot have great things happen. We cannot have change without high integrity. And so power comes from integrity. And I don't mean positional power. I mean power in the sense that people give it to you because of the integrity that you hold. People are drawn to it. People see themselves in it. It creates a sense of purpose and vision and mission that others want to align themselves to. So you are powerful because of your integrity, not necessarily because of the title that you hold. In fact, we've all seen lots of examples of leaders holding very high titles and lacking in integrity. So integrity doesn't naturally come with the position, right? It's definitely about your vision and your values. And so getting clear on what those are is the first step. And we're going to talk about that, how to do that today in just a moment, but it's really definitely about getting clear on your vision and values, and how then do you effectively communicate them? Because there is a difference between, you know, really being able to be the kind of leader who, or be the woman who, you know, has a sense of what she believes in. But more often than not, what I see is that she doesn't necessarily stand up for what she believes in or speaks for what she believes in out loud with others in rooms where people perhaps who have more authority are present. And so that's a challenge that we need to overcome is, you know, you can have a strong sense of values and purpose, but if you're not standing up for those and communicating them effectively and authentically, then you may not necessarily be leading with integrity. You're then not walking your talk. And so I do also believe that people work for leaders who have high integrity. I believe that you build trust and respect because of what you believe in. Now, there is always this, you know, possibility of risk, right? So a lot of times we believe certain things. We have a strong set of values, but we might not necessarily be standing up for those values in places, in certain places, because we're worried about what will happen to us when we do. And so I hear a lot from people about like career limiting moves and, you know, the risk associated with standing in your integrity. So yes, not everybody's going to go with you. Of course not. There are going to be people who don't necessarily believe what you believe. There's risk in standing up for it. There's also a tremendous reward because you get to travel light and hopefully somewhat not burdened by the things you're not talking about. There's risk in not saying it because then you are becoming powerless and you are you might suffer from an integrity outage, which we're going to talk about here in a second. It's also, I think, what everyone wants is to find alignment and really find alignment with an organization where you feel like you share values in common, like there's synergy there. And so you want to work for an organization where you can stand in your integrity, where we share similar values, where I don't need to leave my values like in a box and taped up, keep it shut when I come to work because we see the world very differently. That's very challenging. And what an interesting time it's going to be, you know, over the next couple of months, as we are already hearing lots of discussion, you know, in the kind of HR space around how people's values have not necessarily shifted, but maybe they have, but how people are going to be looking for different work because of realizing like their organization may not share the same values that they do. It's going to be very interesting to see what changes. I think there's going to be a lot of changes in workplaces and what workers are looking for from organizational culture, and integrity is going to be a big one. So I also think that when you really stand in your integrity and you lead from this place, you are able to mobilize other people around you. It's like they're, you know, your people are drawn to it. They want to do that work with you. And so it's a great way to activate energy and to mobilize the values, the aspirations, and the visions of other people around you. So I want to give you some ideas about how to practice really standing in your integrity. And just kind of give you a little thing, a couple things to think about. I created a list of like 13 things, which is a weird number, but that's what I ended up coming up with. That's where my brain stopped about, you know, how to practice integrity. So I'll walk you through those 13 right now, and then we're going to spend some time talking about what happens if we're spotting a bit of an integrity outage, which is not uncommon. Doesn't mean that you lack integrity, just might mean that you're not necessarily standing for it and what to do about it. Okay, so here's some ideas about how to practice it. First, you have to figure out what it is that you believe in and what are your values. You need to determine what they are. And there's lots of great exercises that you can do about, and I have some in the first module, the first masterclass, but figuring out what your values are. You know, I would encourage you to take some time out if you haven't done so already and really write out your values. Pick three, pick five, like no more than that. And what are they? What do you stand for? What is, you know, the walk for you? And think about, am I willing to stand for these things, even if it might cost me to stand for them? Like, am I willing to make decisions from this place? Am I willing to, you know, stand up for these things even when others do not? Okay, so you need to figure out what your values are and what does it look like to practice those? Because, you know, writing the values out is one thing, but knowing how to practice them and what does it look like from a behavior standpoint is different. So what would it look like for you to do more of that or less of that? If I was to see you practicing that value in the real world, what would I see you doing? What does it look like? Okay, because we can value something and not necessarily be practicing it. So sometimes it's good to kind of do a bit of a scan on your values. And they might change over time, right? So if you haven't done this work in a while, you know, it might be a good time to take another look and kind of recalibrate. Then you, as I was saying earlier, then you got to decide, okay, I'm going to stand for these things in good and bad times. Because what happens sometimes when we're going to talk about the integrity outage piece here is that we can believe them, but we can drop our integrity. We can look past it. We can tolerate things. We can ignore things and not necessarily be really fully standing in our integrity. And that typically comes during periods of overwhelm, periods where we're really pulled in a lot of different directions, or maybe we work for an organization that doesn't necessarily value the same things and we don't want to rock the boat or upset the apple cart. We don't want to get labeled as being, you know, an outsider, because belonging is really important to us. Or what I was talking about earlier, our tendency to please or perfect can sometimes mask and like be a shadow that hangs over our integrity. And this is very common for women. And let's be honest, we have grown up with a world telling us what women are, what we should stand for. We've been, you know, there has been a, you know, model of success that has been created. And we've been, you know, brought up to fit into that box. And so we're supposed to stand for a couple things, but anything else is, you know, out of favor, not popular. Okay. So hold on to them for good and bad times. And the third item here is you need to be trustworthy. I put a link, and you may have already seen it before, around the anatomy of trust by Brené Brown, which I think is just such a great discussion of trust. And one of the things that I think is really, really important for women especially is we have to be able to keep our confidences. You cannot, you know, people are going to come to you and talk to you about things, especially if you're in a leadership position. You might be one of those people at the, in your work environment where, you know, everybody with an issue likes to come and speak to you. You have to be able to keep confidences. You know, I coach people who work together on the same team, executives that work together, the same organization on the same team. And often they're all talking about each other to me. You know, I wouldn't be able to continue to keep having a business. I'd be out of business if I wasn't able to keep confidences. That's like a really, really important part of my role. And it's every leader's role is to be able to stand in integrity. Sometimes it shocks me, you know, what other people will say about each other and share information that's not theirs to share. And so that's what I think about keeping confidences. And Brené Brown talks about this. She talks about a vault. And so, you know, like what is said here stays here. That is a big, big component of trust. And so, you know, no gossipy, no talking about others behind their backs in rooms when they are not present. That is really troublesome from an integrity standpoint. Okay. Hard sometimes for leaders because, you know, you get access to information. People share things with you that are like possibly going to impact the future of the organization. And so you feel like, you know, I need to update people. I need to let people know about this. But that's not integrity. It's not, you know, did you get permission to share or not? Right. So something to think about there. So definitely keeping confidences. The more people begin to realize that they can come to you and they can talk with you openly and honestly, and it's going to stay there, unless, of course, there's something that's happening, which, you know, you would have to break confidences, which I would always say, if you do, you should let that person know. But if they haven't given you permission, you don't have permission to share. Right. Number five is around walking your talk. So once you know what you believe in and what your values are, again, are how much do you believe that and how much are you practicing it? And what does it actually look like for you to practice that out loud with other people in the room? If you're not sure, you can't really assess if you are or you're not, you may not be walking the talk. And so one of the things that I see happen for women a lot is, because I assess women on their capacity to demonstrate integrity. When women are scoring lower on integrity, it's like a knife in the heart. They're like, oh my gosh, what do you mean I don't have any integrity? It's not that you don't have integrity. It means that you're not practicing it as consistently as you are practicing something else. And so it's really about getting clear on what does it look like for me to practice this? And where are there places where I know that I have not been? And we're going to talk about why that happens and why do we kind of drop our integrity? And how can you tell that you have been doing that? So again, it comes down with really understanding what does this look like from a behavior standpoint? If I was to observe me doing this, what would I be doing? Number six is around admitting when you are wrong. So sometimes we struggle with this because, you know, we've all been conditioned to believe that like admitting we make mistakes or, you know, being wrong is failure. We've also been conditioned to believe that being right is how you get ahead and how you succeed. And that is not necessarily true. I think admitting that you are wrong is a vulnerable act. And who has it all right all of the time? So if you made a mistake, say so. If you jumped to a conclusion about something, say so. I mean, letting go of the need to be right and being open to being wrong and being curious is a really great way to demonstrate and stand in your integrity. Number seven is that you can be counted on to meet your commitments. This is slippery and challenging. We have so many commitments that we make on a day-to-day basis, and women who, you know, tend to be on the high, on the people-pleasing side of things can overcommit and say yes a lot to things that come their way. And they get asked to do a lot of things because of their tendency to please. Like, they're really nice people and they're easy to work with, easy to get along with. And so this can be a place where people pleasers can struggle. And so if you're overcommitting and not able to follow through in those commitments, and then the challenge is like having to push back and learn to say no, it can create so much internal tension. It can really be tricky for women to navigate, but it's really important that you do what you say that you're going to do. Eight is about being a good role model for the values that you hold near and dear. And so it's interesting for me when I watch the transformation that women go through, which it really always comes down to initially, like, what is it that you stand for and what do you believe in? When, you know, you're kind of suffering from, an integrity outage, or you're feeling stuck in some capacity. When women start standing up for what they believe in and standing in their integrity, other people begin to take notice. And there's like this, there's this light that comes around women that other people become drawn to. It's not easy transition, but it happens. And then other people begin to stand in theirs. Like, it has a cascading effect, and this beautiful organic change begins to happen where it's almost like we emerge from this, like, I don't know, like this cast that was over us, you know, and you just kind of break free of it and you emerge kind of like a butterfly, and other people are drawn to it. And then they start standing up for what they believe in too. It's an amazing and beautiful thing that I see happen. I'm very lucky to be able to see that happen time and time again. Number nine for me is around acknowledging the work of other people. And so I think that women and leaders in general that have high integrity don't take credit for others' work. I hear this happening a lot where women will be like, okay, you know, my boss doesn't let me go to this meeting, or they ask me to send them information in advance of this meeting about something that I'm working on because they want to speak to it when they're in the room. Or, you know, my boss takes credit for my work and has done that openly in a meeting when I've been present. So that's not high integrity. High integrity is letting the person speak for themselves. And so acknowledging the work of others, especially when they are not present. So important that you let others know who is actually responsible for that work and not taking credit for it yourself, even if you are the leader of the team. is making sure that, you know, you place credit where credit is due. Okay. Number 10 is around communication. Communication is number one, because you cannot lead with integrity. You cannot have high integrity if you cannot communicate and use your voice. That is where integrity becomes action. And so this is about saying what you really think and feel. One of the big reasons why I put fierce in this program for you is because you cannot be an effective leader if you cannot use your voice. You cannot hold on to your power and use it if you cannot activate it outside of yourself. That's where we deploy it. And so knowing how to communicate openly and honestly and doing that even and especially in the places where you're most afraid to do so is really where you stand up for what you believe in. It's really where you practice your integrity. You know, it's one thing to practice integrity in the place where it's easy to practice it. It's totally something different to do it in a place where there's a lot of risk and a lot of fear associated with doing it, right? So this is providing feedback, you know, letting people know what's going on, not shying away from tough and difficult conversations, giving positive feedback as well. It's not just about the tough stuff. It's like letting people know where they're doing well, giving them feedback in places where they might be struggling, confronting issues, even with people who might have more power than you in your inside your organization. That is how you demonstrate your integrity. 11 is belief and conviction. You know, conviction is like, I wake up every day, you know, leading from this place, standing up for what I believe in, and that others know what I stand for. And they believe me too, because they know that I stand up for these things in good and bad times. They know that, you know, you're going to see the same version of me from conversation to conversation and from room to room. And we meet down the street, I'm going to be the same person. My beliefs, you know, my word is bond. 12 is following through, following up and following through as another way to practice your integrity and making sure that you are, you know, again, doing what you say that you're going to do. And the 13 I added here is around empathy and compassion. I think you cannot have high integrity without having empathy and compassion for others. You can't have high integrity without heart. It really is leading from the heart. And so those are kind of my top things for how to practice integrity. I'd love to get a sense of what do you think about that list? Did I miss anything essential? Is there anything that you think I should add? What are your thoughts in relation to that list? Anybody want to share out loud or tell me in the chat? Did I miss anything? What are your thoughts about how to practice? We're going to talk about what do we do when we're out of alignment in a second here, but I just want to pause and see how we're doing. You're all listening quietly. Okay. Sounds good. Resistance is a hard one. Yeah, tell me, let me just see. Can you tell me what you mean, Carlin? Resistance is a hard one. Like resistance to standing in your integrity. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just overbless it instead. Just when others are resistant to, whether it's programs, whether it's leading with integrity yourself, because others within the team or higher up or within lateral sort of other teams are not aware of how to do that right, or they just have no desire to do that properly, like leading with integrity. So I find that that's challenging sometimes to do within teams that.
I mean, I think that when you stand in your integrity, I think we all need to acknowledge that it's going to create some resistance. And I've always looked at that tension. Even though it's hard, it's super healthy, because without that tension, we just get more of the same. You know what I mean? It can be exhausting. The resistance is tough because that means like we could be the only one who's necessarily standing up for that. And what I found that can happen is that other people kind of stand behind you. You know, if Carlin's the only one who's really using her voice and is standing up and we lack the courage to do so, then let's keep pushing Carlin forward because she can represent us, which can be very tiring. Yeah, it can be very tiring to be the one. Yes, I don't want to be the conscience for the organization. Yeah. So that's a great piece of feedback, Nancy. Mm-hmm. So here's what I have kind of observed. Like if we spot an integrity outage either within ourselves or with others, what can we do about that? And I'd love to get some conversation going here. I love what you said, because it is hard to follow through sometimes for lots of different reasons. It can be hard for us if we have done the work and we've, you know, figured out what it is that we stand for. And, you know, living with integrity for me means integrating like parts of ourselves. And that is like a lifelong process. Like I'm going through this integration of self in a totally new and different, really meaningful way in my life right now, where I'm coming, you know, my values are changing, and I'm becoming clearer on certain things. You know, it's just a maturity thing. But the other thing is that I'm giving myself time to do that. And so if you never actually slow down to let there become some alignment between inner and outer, to try to create some harmony and understanding there, then you're going to really struggle with what it is that you stand for. And I think that's a gap with a lot of people who just don't want to do the reflective work. There is just this huge narrative out there that the busier you are, the more successful and productive you are. And I really find that leaders struggle with reflective time. And there's lots of reasons for that, especially women struggle with reflective time because we're just dang busy all the time, right? The risk in that is that you cannot figure out like really who you are on the inside, which is an essential step to being able to stand up for what you believe in. Okay. And then our tolerance for risk, right? Which we're going to talk about here in just a second. And so, you know, what could be more powerful though than a woman who has aligned the inner with the outer? What can be more powerful than that? And so what you're noticing is that people are drawn to that. They're like, okay, you're holding up hope. You're holding up vision. And so, yes, it can be tiring to do that. And it's a choice that we make, you know, to stand in that place. And the goal is really to encourage others to stand in their integrity too. That you cannot be the holder of integrity for others. You can be the model of it. You can hold up a vision of what could be possible for them, but you cannot be their spokesperson, if you know what I mean. Yeah. This chat is so lit up, so I'm just going to let you keep doing what you're doing over there. I haven't caught up with it yet, so I'm going to keep talking. Here's what I noticed for women, which is one of the challenges why I think we can suffer from an integrity outage. I find that our attention is split. And so we can be going in so many different directions. There can be pressure from others to drop our values because, you know, it's just like, you know, not the battle that needs to be won right now, or that's going to be too much work to do it that way. We've tried doing it that way before, or this is not how we do things around here, or yeah, other things like bigger risks, like you might lose your job, you might fall out of favor, you might suffer some sort of repercussion for standing up and standing into your integrity. And so we can drop our values because we are overwhelmed. We can be overwhelmed just from a emotional standpoint, just the amount of what we have going on, that we can just be like, you know what, I'm just going to coast for a while because I am burnt the hell out. Women are burnt out right now. I'd say more so than ever before. And so it can be tiring to want to continue to keep standing up for what you believe in. So this is how you know when that is true for you. When people start noticing and you start noticing that something is off or something is different. Now, I want to just take a really like cautious note here. Sometimes that change is leading to something even more transformational. So I'm not critiquing something being off with you. Nobody stays the same forever. You know, like you can be off for a while because you're coming to terms with things, right? There's like, but it's important to pay attention to it, not to be like, oh, I just need to pretend and like go back to who I was before, because that's what people expect from me. If something is off, it's a sign that there is something that is worth exploring, something deeper. You need to dig a deeper well. People might be saying like, you don't seem like yourself. You seem like something is off, and you probably know it to be true for you as well. I also think that if you're feeling drained energy wise, if you are tired, if you're worried, guilty, you feel like something is off, maybe you're having trouble sleeping. Those are typically signs when you're struggling with some like deeper stuff. Something is unsettled, right? Maybe your creativity is feeling hindered. So if you're feeling foggy or like lacking clarity around something, this could be a place where you could be, you know, you could be struggling. You are craving something different. I hear this a lot from women. I want something different. I just don't know what it is. I know it's just not this, right? I don't know what it is yet, but I know that I want something different. I just can't figure what it out. You might feel like you have something to hide. So you might be, or leaving parts of yourself behind. And so you feel like you have to cover something up, mask something up. Those are signs that you could be suffering from an integrity outage, or you could be disconnecting from people, distancing yourself and disconnecting from others. These are typically good signs of like something's up, not feeling good, feeling off base here. What's going on? Time to press pause and do some reflective work. Typically, there's some emotional charge to it as well. You're feeling quite emotionally drained. Maybe you're pissed off about something too. Maybe there's something that's really out of alignment in your world, outer world, that's leading you to feeling like I am not standing up for what I believe in. So one of the things that I think is really a great question that comes from Fierce that I have been, you know, using for years. And the question is this: what am I pretending not to know? And Susan Scott, so brilliant, such a great question. What am I pretending not to know? We pretend not to know that issues exist all the time for lots of different reasons. And maybe on a day-to-day basis, maybe there's little things that are like, I can look past that, but a lifetime of that or a prolonged period of that will suck your soul dry. So let's think about like, are you compromising your integrity and why? And so in order to live with integrity, you need to take time to really know who you are. And if you don't give yourself that time, of course, you're going to struggle with standing up for what you believe in. I find that women struggle so much with just taking the time out to get clear on what is your vision? What is your purpose? What are your values? It's like taking that time out to reflect on that is really, really tricky. A lot of us draw blanks when we go into those questions. And so that is a challenge. And so when you notice other people are like, hey, you figured this out. Great. That means I don't have to do this work. Yeah, your values sound good. Let me just stand with you. You know, that could be part of the reason why. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions and get you to reflect now. So are you bringing all of who you are to your leadership? Yes or no? The answer is yes. Great. What are those parts? The answer is no. Which parts are you leaving behind and why? And then what does integrity mean for you now? How would you define it? What do you stand for? What do you believe in? And when you look at your organization, what does integrity mean for them, for it? What do they stand for? What do they believe in? And do you find alignment or misalignment? And what can you do about it? If that is true, what can you do about it? And so what role does integrity play in your life? And if it hasn't been playing center role, why? And what would happen if you were to make integrity the core? How would your life and your role and what you create be different if you were to lead from this place first? So a couple things that I want you to think about as well here. Number one is doing a check-in, doing an integrity scan, right? That's kind of what we're talking about today. All right, I want to just recalibrate. Beautiful time to recalibrate right now, okay? Taking the time out and really asking yourself, okay, what is it that I stand for? What do I believe in? How does that get practiced? And am I in alignment with that? Am I walking my talk? Where am I doing that? Do I feel like I'm, you know, if I was to score myself from practicing it, or sorry, from believing it to practicing it, how would I score myself on the things that I really stand for and really believe in? Okay, and are there places where I maybe not standing in it? And why is that happening? Number two is you got to look fear in the eye. Fear likes to win. I've learned that it's often best to do the opposite of what fear is telling you to do. And yet that speaks easy, practice is hard. So where are you dropping your integrity because of fear? And soon as you do that, soon as you drop your integrity because of fear, you have let the other thing that you are afraid of take control, win, be in power. Doesn't mean that the fear is not real. I get it. The long-term implications of that are that somebody, you're standing for something else. And maybe that's okay. I just want you to take a look at it. And so again, that question around what are you pretending not to know? And where are there places where you might be playing small? You might be diminishing yourself because you're worried about what will happen when you stand up for what you believe in. That standing up, not standing up for what you believe in, is where burnout comes from. It's where the integrity outage lives over a long period in time. It's where I had a conversation with a woman who said to me once, you know, I have changed myself so many times over my career to try to get ahead because I was never accepted for who I was as a woman in the workplace. And so I've changed, I've adapted so many times that now I look at myself and I have no idea what I stand for. I don't know really who I am when I look at myself in the mirror anymore. So then start thinking about where do I need to stand up for my integrity and stand in my integrity. And that has everything to do with the conversations that you have day by day, week by week, month by month. Conversation is where you practice your integrity. And so what conversations are missing? What are ones that you are avoiding or not having simply because you're worried or fearful or you don't know how to say it or you don't know what to say? I would spend time doing a conversation inventory. Where have you looked past something? Where have you ignored something? Where are you couching your voice because you are worried about what will happen to the relationship when you really stand in your integrity? That is probably the place where you need to stand in it the most. My experience has been that, you know, change happens when you do that. It's not usually as bad as the story that we tell ourselves. You know, as I said, fear likes to win. So the story that is telling you about what will happen when you stand for your integrity is like always, oh, terrible, bad things are going to happen. Not always. And if they do, it's another problem that you can solve. Better to stand up for what you believe in than spend your life not standing up for what you believe in. Or working for an organization that doesn't believe the same things as you do and helping them, you know, from that place, right? I also encourage you to build in some sort of reflective practice. I don't know what that looks like for you right now. If you can journal, if you can just on a, you know, daily basis, it might be too much, weekly basis, Every 30 days, I think this practice of pausing, taking stock, reflecting, so important. Because things are moving very fast. We're pulled in a bazillion different directions. You could be dropping your integrity simply because you haven't had time to like think it through. And I want you to reflect on what's working, what's not, and recalibrate. Look at relationships, places where you feel like, yeah, this is a high integrity, high trust relationship. We are talking about things openly and honestly. Yeah, over here, now there's a whole bunch of issues that we are not dealing with. We are sweeping things under the rug. We are pretending not to know all over the place here. And it's making me feel this way. I feel really like I am not myself here. And then the question is, okay, given that is true, what am I going to do about it? And that will always lead you back to a conversation that you need to have. Okay, here are some questions that you could begin that journaling practice with. What have you always cared about? You know, really, like when you go back and you kind of look through the thread that has been woven through your life, there are probably things that you're really drawn to and that you really care about. That if money were no object, you would, you know, work in this space or you would do something there. And so that's probably a place where your integrity lives, where your values live. And why do you care so much about it? What does it have to do with you? There's probably something in your life that has happened, part of your lived experience that is drawing you to that for some reason. Okay. So what do you value most? And what drives you? What are the things that you're like willing to stand up for, willing to fight for, willing to use your voice for, willing to work for and against? Because your integrity lives there. You're connected to that. What do you want most for those around you? Like, who are the people that you care the most about? And what do you want for those people? That's usually a good place to think about maybe your team, maybe the organization, maybe community at large. What do you want most for those people? And where do you feel like you might have barriers around standing in your integrity? And how can you begin to overcome them? So those are my reflective questions for you to get started on doing a bit of an integrity scan if you think that there might be a bit of an integrity outage happening in your world, which is not something to beat yourself up about. It happens to all of us. So, okay, I'm going to pause for a second here, see what's in the chat, open up the floor to questions, anything that you want to talk about out loud. Yes, there is a fine line between being a role model. And so let's just use this as an example. So if you're noticing that, you can practice standing in your integrity and others cannot, given that that is true, what can you do about it? If you're finding that that is tiring, exhausting, et cetera, what can you do about it? If others aren't willing to stand up for the same thing. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to be honest here because we're all adults. I love that, Dawn. We're all adults. I mean, let's remind us here. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I love that. It's a good frame. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being able to say no judiciously. Yes. Yes. You've been told to pick your battles. Uh-huh. Yeah. Leading a double life. Yes. Right now you're, Carlin says, right now I'm struggling with having had conversations with the follow through lives of somebody else. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to let accountability, like hold the other person able rather than trying to hold them accountable to doing what they said that they were going to do. And so perhaps the conversation needs to move in that direction. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. You have a voice, you know, sounding something like you have a voice too. I encourage you to use it. Happy to sit here and help you plan for that conversation. But yeah, you cannot be, you can't be the person who stands up for everyone else. And I find that that does happen a lot for, you know, women who've done this work. You can then be like the shoulders for everybody else. And that's part of the role of being a leader, but it's also part of the role of enabling other people and showing them how to use their voice themselves. Because it's, you know, doesn't benefit the organization as a whole if only one or two people are standing up. And that's what I find a lot of people will say, well, this organization doesn't share the same values that I do of honesty. We're not necessarily walking our talk here organizational wide, which is, you know, a conversation that might need to happen. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so I pull back maybe a little bit of that and do a little bit of a scan of like, okay, what's going on for me here? Where might I be taking on too much? And why is that happening? Why am I taking on more than, you know, I can or should? Mm-hmm. And why is that happening? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for sure, it is harder for women. Definitely, you know, using our voice. It is the number one thing, you know, it's so interesting for me and shocking for me initially when I started working with women to hear the issues, you know, over and over again. The same issue that women would share with me is, you know, not feeling confident, not wanting to use my voice. I mean, we've been conditioned to be quiet and to be quiet with our integrity. Our entire lives. It's like deeply ingrained from birth. So I shouldn't have been shocked. I've gotten into more trouble for using my voice over my life than I can count. Like I'm very vocal in all areas of my life. I have to tone it down sometimes. Yeah. So it was shocking to me because, you know, you see the world the way that you are, not the way that it is. And so looking through so many women that feel so afraid of using their voice, and it's like, okay, well, I want you to be afraid of not using your voice. Think of all the missed opportunities and all the things that you're waiting to have happen that are on hold, waiting for you to speak up. And you can, it's a muscle. You cannot get better at it if you don't do it. You have to practice it intentionally day by day. But your lived experience and how you were raised and your context and all kinds of stuff will really dictate how you feel about that. And so if you're strong in that, and that's something that, you know, you've developed and it's come naturally to you and you're willing to assume the risk, of course people are going to be drawn to you because you're making it easier for them to not have to do something that they are uncomfortable doing. And so you have got to coach them, show them, and explain to them that it's not easy for you to do either, and you choose to do it versus not, and why. So rather than taking their power away by doing it for them, I want you to swing it back to them, and especially for women, and get them to contemplate why they're not doing that work themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. 100%. When people are like, I'm worried about what will happen in my job if I stand up for what I believe in. I'm like, you should be worried about what will happen when you don't. You want to work for an organization or you want to work for somebody where you cannot speak up for what you believe in? Really? How long do you want to do that for? You know, that doesn't feel good to me at all. Why? Because you're worried about, you know, losing your job? It's not the only one on the planet. You know, I know that I've lost my job. Like I've been there, you know, I get it. It's horrific. But what you, the biggest risk of not standing up for what you believe in is you never get to experience what might happen when you stand up for it and great things happen. You eliminate any chance of a positive outcome by not standing up for what you believe in. That's what you get. So if you're okay with that, continue to keep being quiet. Yeah. So much apathy and so much fear going on in society right now because people are worried about what will happen. It's a very challenging time to stand in your integrity. A lot of opportunity, very challenging because there's a lot of heat. And so add social media to the mix, right? So great time to practice this. So I encourage all of you to take whatever you can from today's conversation and share it with others. If you know that there are women who maybe are not standing in their integrity or don't even know what they believe in because they've never given themselves the opportunity to do that work, then encourage them to do so. Maybe that's a great exercise inside your team, inside your organization, is to give people the opportunity to do it and name it and stand up for it with each other and have each other witness it in front of each other. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I've found is, I don't know, like this, I agree with you, John. It doesn't, you don't have to become the, you know, sacrificial lamb or the scapegoat when things go wrong. I mean, that means that we, when that happens, we are not who we say we are. And so I feel like honesty has taken a back seat inside most organizations. We speak a big integrity, honesty, openness, whatever game, but there's always a lot of repercussions, especially for women who stand up in their integrity, because then we're like bossy, bitchy, cold, aggressive, too passionate, all of those types of labels. So it's going to be there. So my view on that is, so what? You know, it's never going to change if we don't push past it. Adversity is going to come with this. You're going to face setbacks. There are going to be people who are not going to like it, who want you to be quiet. But that's not a way to lead a life of passion and purpose. You know, you're going to face setbacks. And so when you do, you got to remember what you're passionate about, what you believe in. Hold on to your conviction and continue to keep standing up for it. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes. Yeah. We all think that we need to be a certain way. So Nancy, I'll answer that question in a second. I really think what's interesting to me is that there is definitely a belief of how we should behave. It's very interesting to me, having helped people with their conversations over the years and preparing for conversations. This is the thing that I struck me the most. People will come to me and say, okay, Harriet, I've got this thing, this issue that I want to work through. Here's the issue. So they'll tell me the whole story. And they'll be like, so how do I say that? Like, how do I say blankety blank, 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 blank to blankety blank? And I'm like, well, what you just said sounded amazing. Just say that. What you just said, we think that we have to say what we think and feel differently than the words that are actually coming out of our mouth. So we don't trust our own voice. We don't trust our inner thoughts. We really don't trust in that. So we think that we have to say things a different way than they actually, you know, authentically come. So authenticity to me is the living of integrity out loud. So integrity are your values. Authenticity is you practicing them out loud through your voice and through your behavior. You will be authentic when those two things, the inner and the outer, are matched. That's my opinion. Yeah, so much pressure to conform. Compliance is like, you know, a one-way ticket to promotion. You know, really, how many people have I met over the years that said, yeah, but that's how you succeed in this environment, is by being compliant. Yeah. Okay. If that's what you determine success to be, for sure. there are those who would say like that is a path to travel and it does get results. Yeah. My question is, what are you losing in the process? Mm-hmm. All right. We are at time. I love this conversation today. I hope you did too. I popped a couple of extra resources once I pop up the recording for today's module in here, inside the learning portal in Kajabi. Video from Brené Brown, an article, and a podcast. I'd love any additional resources that you have around integrity. I'd love to hear them. I'd love to hear what your values are over in the Slack channel. So if you want to go in there and post them and start a conversation around this, it would be great to continue that conversation offline. Thank you so much. Yeah, there are not enough. Yeah. So many reasons why there aren't so many women at C-level positions, because yeah, I mean, there's a success prototype there, Catherine, for sure. And that doesn't necessarily fit all's definition of it, plus all kinds of glass cliff, broken rung, all kinds of issues that go on internally with gender bias inside organizations. There's just not enough women to pick from, which we're going to be talking about soon. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for being here today and making time to connect. Hop on over into Slack, and I'd love to hear what your values are. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.